Sorry, the studies are available on the website. If you don't have access to the website, just give me a hoi over morning to you and we can get a few printed out for you. Alright. Well, let's pray as we come now to God's Word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in Heaven, we want to thank you for this letter to the Hebrews. And Lord, although we don't know exactly who wrote the letter, we know that you work powerfully through your word. And we thank you for this word. We pray that you would help us now to clear our minds of any distracting thoughts and help us to concentrate on what you're telling us here today. And we ask that your spirit would work in us to guide us into the truth and to convict us of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, we pray that we might be encouraged today. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my first job out of university was working for Telstra in their construction division. After a few years, I became a team leader. They call a team leader. And I was responsible for going to meetings and making commitments with other parts of the organisation and sometimes even other organisations outside of Telstra about construction deadlines that we would meet. And these were for anything, anywhere from like building a new radio tower and, how would you say, communications compound with a fence, power connections, all that stuff. Sometimes running optic fibre cabling, digging trenches, all those kinds of things. I was the one at the front end, making the commitments of the kind of deadlines that we would meet. In a sense, I was representing our whole construction division as I did that. I was the spokesperson speaking on behalf of the whole group, making promises about what we could deliver in what amount of time. But today, as we begin our series here in the letter to the Hebrews, we're going to hear about a representative who not only has permission to speak and to represent, but this guy is supreme in every way. In fact, what we will find out about this messenger as we go through the letter as it is far, far more than just a representative. So let's dive in and find out about this messenger, this one who is qualified to speak on God's behalf. On the very first verse, the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through his prophets. In fact, if you recall, many parts of the Old Testament are written by the prophets. In most cases, we even know their names. But look at the first verse there again in Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. In Old Testament times, we've come to see this if we've read our Old Testament a little bit. God speaks regularly to his people. He is not a silent God. Our God would speak into the lives of people in a variety of different ways. In fact, early on in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, we actually get a pretty clear description of how God speaks through the prophets. Here's what we can read in Numbers chapter 12 from verse 5. It says there that the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent, that's the tent of meeting, and summoned Aaron and Miriam. Now Aaron and Miriam are Moses' brother and sister. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. So with these prophets, we see from that that God comes to them in visions and dreams. This is one of the main ways that God communicates through his spokesmen, the prophets, his representatives. This is how he gets his message out to the people. Now you might remember how he comes to the prophet Daniel in dreams and in visions. Isaiah is sent a powerful vision. I think you can read that in Isaiah chapter 6. And if you read the book of Revelation, which the ladies are going to be doing in KYB on a Wednesday morning this term, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see that God speaks to the Apostle John through a vision. That's what he records. One of the big points to note here is that our God is not silent, as I said before. He is not mute. He speaks and communicates to his people in a variety of ways. But Moses is special, you'll notice there. With Moses, God speaks face to face. Now we're told that Moses is a faithful messenger in all God's house. He speaks God's words to all the people. And he speaks faithfully and true. There's a powerful rebuke for Aaron and Miriam that follows here. Moses' brother and sister are rebuked in verses 8. And then you can read what happens to them after that. Verse 8, it says, "With Moses I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them." There at the tent of meeting, at the entrance. Now Moses has this message. He's speaking on behalf of God to the people, and his brother and sister oppose him. That's the situation. God's very angry with them because they're standing in the way of his spokesman. How will the people hear God's message if these two get in the way? We can read about how God deals with them in Numbers 12. Suffice to say, it's not good for them when they get in the way of God's messenger. Because God has a message for his people, and he's going to make sure that it gets through. So, God used to speak through his prophets to his people, but now in these last days, we're told, in these last days, God has spoken in a different way. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, verse 2, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. So instead of speaking through his prophets like he did in the Old Testament, through dreams and visions that are often complicated, difficult to interpret, God is now speaking to his people through the ministry of Jesus. The words of Jesus are in fact the very words of God, his Father. And because these words are written down for us to read, it's not only those who first heard Jesus speak that are getting God's word spoken to them. We're getting God's word spoken to us. God's word is coming to everyone who reads the scriptures, who read the Bible. The long dialogue between God and his people continues. God is not silent. He continues to speak through his powerful word. He continues to speak to us through Jesus. Notice there that we're given some important qualifications about this messenger, Jesus, God the Son. These are to remind us of how superior he is to the prophets who went before him. Not only is he God's Son, God the Son, but he's been made heir of all things. He will inherit the heavens and the earth. But we're also reminded that God the Father actually made the entire universe through him. This all lines up with, you know, what we read in other parts of the Bible, in particularly in the New Testament, the start of John's Gospel. You might remember it reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then in verse 3, this is what he says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So not only was he there with God in the beginning, as the Word, he created all things. But then John also says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only was Jesus there from the very start with God the Father, he's appeared among us. He's spoken to us. He's passed on the word of God to us. He's brought us this great message. We bear witness, says John, to his arrival, his presence with us, and his message that he's brought to us. In Colossians chapter 1, which was our call to worship that Ian read for us, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rules or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. So what we're reading here at the start of Hebrews lines up with what we know about Jesus from elsewhere in other parts of the Bible. But our writer is reminding us here of just who our messenger really is. He's the second member of the Holy Trinity, God the Son. He's got some impressive credentials. He's made everything. He's made the universe. And so it follows that his message to us is going to be an important one. In fact, over the coming weeks and months, we're going to be reminded just how important this message really is. And as if verse 2 wasn't enough to get our attention, to make us sit up and take notice, now it's like we get both barrels in verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he'd provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. That's what we're being told here. The exact representation of his being. That's what Jesus is. All of God's radiant glory is right there in Christ. And there's plenty of powerful details packed into this one verse, isn't there? All things in creation continue to be sustained by his powerful word. Just think about that for a moment. The powerful words of God the Son maintain everything in their place, in their order, in an ongoing way. The sun rising and setting, the tides coming in and out, rain falling on the land, the seasons coming and going, every creature, all life itself, sustained by the powerful Son of God. It's pretty incredible what we're being told here. And there's two big revelations that follow these words. He's already provided purification for sins, and now he's seated at the right hand of our Father in heaven, seated right there on the throne. So Jesus' work is complete. His religious duties are done. He's already provided purification for our sins, and now he's taken his seat. We know from other parts of the New Testament, we're going to see this over the course of the next few months, we know that by his death on the cross, where his blood was poured out, Jesus has made atonement for the sins of the people. This work is complete. The message that this messenger brings to us, this message spoken to us by Jesus, is that our sins can be forgiven because of all the work that he's already done. All we have to do is trust in him, that his death on the cross is enough to cancel out all my sins, all your sins. We just have to ask him and then believe that he will forgive us. This is how Jesus' powerful message works in our lives. The Apostle Paul describes how it works for us in Romans 10:17. Here's how Paul describes the way the gospel message works in our hearts when we hear it. He says there in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So when we hear about Jesus in the scriptures, that's how faith begins, from hearing his word. So in the past, God spoke to us through his prophets, but now when we hear the words of God's son Jesus, when we hear the gospel message, that good news that our sins can be forgiven, this is what produces faith in us. We hear the good news, we reach out to grasp hold of the forgiveness that's on offer, and we believe. Over the next two terms, we're going to take the time to dwell on just how great Jesus really is. He's far superior than any other alternatives that the world might have to offer us. There are so many comparisons that the author makes through this letter that it's hard to get away from what he's saying. He's saying, Jesus is better than this. Jesus is better than that. Jesus is superior in so many ways. And our author goes to great lengths to show us this. In fact, there really is no alternative to Jesus. No other way to have forgiveness and come into the presence of our Father. There's no other way to have eternal life and a place in God's kingdom forevermore. I'm really looking forward to our series this term and next term. I hope that you are too. But I want to leave you with this one question today. If all these things that we read about Jesus here at the start of Hebrews and throughout the New Testament, if these things are true, what then should be our attitude to the message he brings? As we think about that, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for that promise that our sins can be forgiven. Lord, help us to not only listen to this message that you sent your Son to deliver to us and then carry it out by giving his life for us at the cross, but Lord, in our weakness, we pray that you would give us the faith and the courage to believe the message, to trust you in all things and what you've done for us in Jesus. And Lord, help us to share this news with our family and friends, those we know, so that they too would come to know salvation in the name of Christ. And we pray these things now in his mighty name. Amen.